I got a little business to do with Ryan Callahan before we get started. Go Vols 24/7. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I want to apologize. I realized about 15 minutes ago that last Friday we were iced in, our transmitters were frozen, and we were off, and I forgot to text you and tell you, and I apologize. So I know you were just waiting by the phone.
Yeah, it's the highlight of your week to come on this show to talk to us. Ryan.
Sorry about that, Ryan.
That's all right. I'm more upset that you didn't bring us, like, any snow. Like, it's amazing. You guys
I know.
Probably didn't even realize it, or no one over there really cared. But like, West and Middle Tennessee got everything, and we looked at our ground and we're like, "What happened? Are we not in the same state? How did we get nothing?"
Well, so, it's usually the other way around, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
yeah.
Can be.
But now we got ice, then snow, and then some more ice.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Yeah, it was great. You missed it. You missed out.
And we would have come got you, but we couldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, you guys can keep the ice.
Yeah.
The ice is no fun. I remember 94.
Yeah. But all right, let's get to business now. But I just wanted to mention that today at 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern, five-star Martin Westview quarterback Ty Simpson got pushed back because of weather. Today, he's going to announce Tennessee, Alabama, Clemson, Ole Miss, Texas, Texas A&M. And obviously, this is from the UT perspective. They seem to have put themselves in the best place that they could.
I think that's fair, yeah. I think they've done a good job of battling back under pretty tough circumstances and knowing that obviously the coaching changed. The coaching change at Tennessee really changed everything. Alabama's had some change with Steve Sarkisian leaving. That obviously was a good relationship that Ty Simpson had. That was a big deal to him. That was the reason you mentioned Texas at one point was at least in his top six. Although we don't think they're a factor in his ultimate decision today. But that's because of Steve Sarkisian. So he's had a couple changes here since January that have really shaken things up a little bit down the stretch. There were times back in the fall, you know, I think Alabama was in pretty good shape. There were times definitely toward the end of the Jeremy Pruitt era that I think Ty Simpson was headed toward Tennessee. So it's been really fascinating to see this play out down the stretch. And, I don't know what's going to happen today, to be honest. This is one of those rare cases where those of us in the recruiting industry don't necessarily have the answer that we sometimes are guarding to protect a source or something to that effect. I think there's a lot of people out there still trying to figure this out, less than 4 hours out, or less than 5 hours out now. So give Ty Simpson credit for keeping the mystery alive, because no one really knows for sure. But it certainly doesn't sound like Tennessee is no one I talk to is saying Tennessee is going to win this battle. You know, there no one's saying Tennessee's out of it. But at the same time, no one's saying Tennessee is going to get Ty Simpson today. So, shocker is always possible. You never rule out anything. But right now, all the evidence certainly points more toward Alabama or Clemson being the choice. And
wow.
If that's the case, you can't fault Josh Heupel if that's the case. His staff, I think, has done everything they can, like you said. But this is just a tough deal where the coaching change for Tennessee really did change everything more than a month ago.
Yeah, but Ryan, you know how UT fans are. You know them better than us. You know, if this guy goes somewhere other than UT, they're going to blame Heupel, right?
In most cases, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I think fans can be upset and still understand that Josh Heupel's staff didn't really do anything wrong. In this case, I think Tennessee actually, as Greg said, done well to get back in it, and it's Heupel is. His staff has talked with Ty Simpson basically every day since they got there. Ty Simpson was the first prospect he called when he took the job on his first day on the job. So he's done everything he needed to do to make Tennessee at least a contender here down the stretch. And again, to the point that we're not sure that it's not Tennessee on the day of his announcement. So we can't rule out anything, certainly. But it's because of this staff and the work they put in. And the offense, frankly, I think that's one of the reasons he's maybe had a little tougher time turning down Tennessee, even if he is planning to today. And we'll find out at 2 Central. But it's because Josh Heupel's got a good track record with quarterbacks. His offense is put up big numbers. I think all that's been appealing to Ty Simpson, and he's enjoyed getting to know Josh Heupel's staff. So we'll find out if it's enough. But, you know, certainly I think they've at least given him a lot more to think about than he probably thought they would when he found out Jeremy Pruitt was fired back on January 18th.
Ryan Callahan with us at Ryan Callahan 24/7 and GoVols 24/7. Ryan, I've asked you, I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, where all the money's coming from for all of these and what they're paying coaches not to coach anymore, what they're paying Central Florida to have the opportunity to pay them more at Tennessee. Kevin Green, former, and then Chancellor Plowman comes out and says they've lost $28 million in the last year in the athletic department. And maybe more to come. There's probably going to be a settlement with Pruitt. They got to get who they're paying to coach now. Hell, I think T. Martin's still going to be on the payroll for a while. I mean, but it's $28 million. Of course, that could the SEC could make all of that go away in a hurry with one check. We know that at the spring meetings, wherever that's going to be land. But just crazy numbers. Just crazy. I don't know if any other – I've seen any other school do what they've done with that money.
Mm. No, and well, so – and those numbers also, you know, how much of that is – you know, I don't know how much of that is strictly because of the, you know, the buyouts and things like that. They were set to lose a lot of money even before any of that stuff. And the university's done what it can to help out the athletic department, which is usually the other way around, with the athletic department sometimes profiting and helping the university. Now, you know, the athletic department's fallen on hard times, and the university has had to try to chip in to pay down the debt, essentially. So it's just the reality of the situation. It's you know, we knew that's what most schools were going to be facing, and Tennessee's done what it can to mitigate some of the losses this year, but they need 2021 to be better. the only answer for it. They need to be able to put more fans in the stands and things like that as soon as possible. But like you said, that SEC money can certainly help out. You know, there's been talk of loans potentially from the SEC to member schools that might need them. So they've got other options, but boy, it's a tough time for everybody in college athletics. And you know, if Tennessee's hurting, the ones really hurting are some of the quote unquote smaller schools that don't have the flexibility that a school like Tennessee might have. But yeah, when you throw those buyouts and everything else on top of what's happened and throughout this past year, It looks bad to be spending that kind of money on buyouts, and that's the thing people weren't sure about. Why we didn't know after going into the 2020 season whether anyone was going to change coaches anywhere, but that didn't hold back a few SEC teams from doing it, including Tennessee, obviously for different reasons. But it's that's why we really weren't sure we could expect it. But it obviously didn't change a whole lot, except maybe make Tennessee try to offset that buyout and not have to pay it to Jeremy Pruitt, as you said. So, yeah, big numbers, and we'll see what Tennessee can do to make up for that. But it's certainly a financial mess that Danny White, the athletic director, has walked into.
Well, and also there's another mess, investigation internal, and when they turn it over to the NCAA, I know Plowman said Monday night she was on Vol calls, and it was interesting. Her on Vol calls, I think Danny White was doing interviews. They looked like they were sort of on the offensive with this, but says they don't think it will impact this coming year, the 2021 season, but they got to turn it over. And, of course, you know, they pretty much, you know, admitted every guilt, level one, level two, level three, level 82 at the press conference announcing all of this stuff. But so I don't think anything. But if you're – when John, you and I were talking about this. If you know something's coming, I mean, LSU had a bowl ban in a year that they weren't going to go to a bowl, you know, self-imposed, you know. So do they get – are they trying to get out in front of it, or are they just going to let this – see where the NCAA takes it? Because they've already admitted to multiple level one and level twos.
Yeah, and according to Plowman, it was bad, real bad.
That's right. I think they're going to most likely get out in front of this. They're going to follow the lead of the law firm, and remember, they retained a law firm that specializes in these exact types of cases. There's a reason they took the steps they did and cleaned house on the football side and the recruiting office and all of those things they did beyond just firing Jeremy Pruitt. So I think they feel they put themselves in as good of a position as possible under the circumstances to be able to deal with this. And then the next step is probably to self-impose some penalties. This is the tough part for these cases because the uncertainty can be more damaging to the football program in this case than the actual penalties. Because if you get into recruiting battles with other schools that are trying to use this against you, they can float any scenario possible for the penalties, and it's usually way worse than they actually turn out to be. So you don't want schools to be able to say, man, you may not go to a bowl game for 3 years if you go to Tennessee. You don't want schools to be able to just float that possibility because of the uncertainty. You want to at least have self-imposed penalties to point to say, you know, even though the NCAA hasn't announced the final verdict yet on whether these are going to be the only penalties, we're optimistic that this is going to be it. So I think they're going to consult with that law firm, see what they can come up with that from their experience is close to what should be reasonably expected from the NCAA, and they'll self-impose something most likely before this season, even though the NCAA won't rule on it for a while. And as you said, Donde Plowman said she doesn't think they're likely to rule on it, the NCAA, that is, before this football season. So it's going to be a long wait probably to see the final outcome, but I think Tennessee wants to get out in front of it as much as they can and not have that uncertainty just, you know, really affect things for much longer in recruiting.
And Ryan, that's why I go back to the fans. I've been saying it all along. I said, if you're a Tennessee fan, you know, your loyalty and your patience is going to be tested. And like you said, the anticipation of what could happen is probably more damaging than the actual, you know, like you said, the penalties. So this fan base is going to have to exercise some patience, something that's not usually, you know, synonymous with UT fans, no?
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. And yeah, it's funny. I was just talking with someone about this week. Each time a new coach is hired at Tennessee, and we've been through this a few times on this beat over the past decade.
A little bit.
But every time someone is hired, we tend to hear the same things. You know, you got to give him 4 or 5 years. You got to give him time. He's inheriting a mess. Well, this time he really is inheriting a mess. And so each time that the situation has changed, those 4 or 5 years magically turn to 3. By the time everyone gets to year 3, they say it's time to win. He's got to do something this year. Butch Jones was maybe a little bit different. They were a little fair with him because he kind of stayed on that upward trajectory and eventually got there and then didn't get there and then it fell apart. But they, you know, people were relatively patient with him because he kind of stayed on the right track. But that patience runs thin if the wins aren't there. That's just how it is everywhere. So it's going to be different this time because definitely I think, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen with the self-imposed penalties, but certainly I think the real possibility of a bowl ban and scholarship losses are right there on the table. And if that's the setback, that's a serious penalty. We'll see what it is, but it certainly could be a tough couple years, at least for Tennessee.
Got a couple minutes, so we don't have time for you to explain UT basketball to us. But they got Auburn tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock on ESPN. By the way, after the break, remember we were looking at the SEC filled in the blanks for next week yesterday. I'm not crazy.
Right.
You know, until yesterday, tomorrow was going to be the last game of the year for UT, so they're going to be playing Florida on Sunday. Before the tournament, but you get blown out at home against Kentucky. You look good here. You don't look good. I don't know what to think of that team. So tell me in 2 minutes what's wrong or what's right.
Yeah, no, I like I said, I don't know how to explain it. No, I think it's actually pretty simple when you think about it. It's one of the things I've wondered about this team. I thought they were going to be able to overcome it with depth and with John Fulkerson and Eve Pons being, you know, as good as they were last year. And what's happened is, John Fulkerson has not been the same guy we expected him to be for whatever reason. I think everyone's kind of started to think back to the Chris Lofton situation years ago and wondering, is there something wrong with Fulkerson that we don't know? Because he's just not the same guy right now, and it's hard to really explain unless teams have really just, you know, gotten in his head somehow or something like that. But is he playing hurt or something else? And then on top of that, this team just doesn't have a go-to shooter outside that they can really count on when opposing defenses are causing problems for them. So it makes it feel like a young team, an inconsistent team, because they just can't rely on their shooting when the offense is failing them or not finding a way to get things done inside. So it's an inconsistent team. They're going to be inconsistent because their shooting is inconsistent, and that makes it tough to survive sometimes when you're facing good competition. So it's hard to know what to expect from one game to the next. I know that's been frustrating for fans when this team was expected to do so much. They still could do that, but I think they're going to have to ride the freshmen, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, see how far those guys can take them unless we suddenly see the old Fulkerson wake up and take back over in the postseason.
Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. 2 o'clock this afternoon, he's gonna put on an orange hat. Okay, now is that Clemson or Tennessee or Texas or burn orange, right? So, but anyway,
Roll Tide, man.
I understand you can go to 247sports.com and watch it for free, right?
That's right. CBS Sports HQ has it. If you have that on your streaming device or on CBSSports.com, you can watch it live there. So, yeah, definitely that's the place to check it out and follow along this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Ryan.
Anytime. Thanks.